Good morning. Good to see each and every one of you here this morning. Especially if you're visiting with us, we thank you for being here. If you are visiting with us, I am not the regular minister. He's on vacation, I'm just filling in. I asked Nick to lead that song before the lesson this morning. I thought that everyone knew it, but you did good. Appreciate it. We want to talk this morning about the I Ams of Paul. If you would, turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 1, and we'll look at verses 13 through 17. Romans 1, 13 through 17. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now let me clarify something here. This lesson that we're giving today is from the scriptures or from the New King James. So there'll be just a little variance in the wording. But what I wanted to clarify here was when it says from faith to faith, that doesn't mean in the world today those claiming to have faith of different kinds. I think you know what I mean. Many out there in the denominational world who claim to have the faith. Ephesians 4, verse number 5, the Word of God tells us one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And I say, who do you believe? Do you believe man when he says, my faith, this faith, that faith? The Lord's faith. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. The story is told of a man coming out of church one day, and the preacher grabbed his hand. He pulled him aside and he said unto him, you need to join to come into the Lord's army. The man said, preacher, I'm already in the Lord's army. The preacher said, well, how come I don't see you except on special occasions? The man said, I'm in the Secret Service. Folks, there's not a Secret Service in the Lord's army. Not a Secret Service in the Lord's army. How many people today are in God's Secret Service? There's no such thing as God's Secret Service. Paul was certainly not in the Secret Service. You ever wondered how Paul could do so much for Christ, could suffer so much, and complain so little? We want this morning to talk about I am a debtor. I am ready, and I am not ashamed. These are the I ams of Paul. Romans 1:14 says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. The word debtor here means one who owes anything to another, usually in regard to money. We are all debtors to mortify the deeds of the body. Romans chapter 8, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit put to death the deeds of your body, you will live. The Spirit provides us with the energy and power to continually and gradually be killing our sin. And this is a process that we will never be completed in this life. The means the Spirit uses to accomplish this process is our faithful obedience to the gospel of Christ, to the simple commands of the Scriptures. Paul had a special debt. It was based on his calling by God, Romans 1, verse 1. It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Christ himself selected Paul for apostleship. Acts 9, Acts 22, Acts 26. And trained him to fulfill this ministry. Galatians chapter 1, 12 and 16. Turn with me to Galatians 1. Galatians 1, verse 12 and 16. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with the flesh and blood. That was why he became a gospel preacher. He didn't receive it of man, neither was he taught it by man, but the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the reason was to reveal his Son to those that he needed to preach to, which was the whole world among the heathen. Paul seen a need, and he acted on that need. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 16 and 17, Paul says, For I preach the gospel. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have been entrusted with a stewardship. Did you notice the word necessity? This has been necessity is laid upon me to preach. Paul learned the gospel. He knew right away he has the necessity to relay it to others. And he says, Woe to me if I don't. Woe to us if we don't. But he says, if I do, I have a reward. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 33 is, he says, not seeking his own profit, but for the profit of many, that they may be saved. That's why he preached the gospel. Not for his profit, but for many, that they may be saved. He preached because he was Christ's servant. You and I are Christ's servants if we are Christians. We need to get the gospel of Christ out. You don't have to stand in the pulpit to do that. You can do it as you live daily through your routine, as you go about your week, every day of your life. He was therefore under necessity as a servant. We are servants. We are under necessity also. The word stewardship is a valuable responsibility or duty to be carefully managed. We are stewards. Stewards of what? We are stewards of the gospel of Christ. How do we handle that? How do we handle that? He was a debtor to the Greeks and barbarians. Greeks speaking in those less civilized, who spoke other languages, those who were educated, and those who were uneducated. He had a duty to all men. You know, sometimes maybe we like to pick and choose who we talk to. Paul says, I've got a duty to everyone, educated, uneducated. This is the basis of our service to God. Our relationship to God makes us a debtor to all men. You obeyed the gospel? Do you know the gospel? You're in debt. Whether we know it or not, we are in debt. We are a debtor to the gospel of Christ to teach it to others. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 1, that we are stewards of the mysteries of God, which is the gospel. And in the next verse, Paul says, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Are we a faithful steward of God? The realization of debt kindles a fire of enthusiasm for service. As we realize our debt, we should have a fire under us, realizing that we have a debt to pay. We should have the enthusiasm for the service. Reason so many are not faithful, they cannot say that I am a debtor. God has always required His people to warn others of sin. We have an example of this in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 33, verses 8 and 9. Ezekiel said, when I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, then do not speak to warn the wicked from his way. That wicked man shall in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, that you have delivered your soul. Every time we have an opportunity to pay the debt, let's pay up. Ignorance is no excuse. Even if we do not warn the wicked, they will still be lost. And if we do not warn, we will also be lost. This shows how serious our debt to others is. Why would a Christian want to go around, live his life, closed mouth? Knowing about God and His gospel, knowing about His Son, and what He did for us, and never tell anybody else about it. Even if we have done all that we could, it is still nothing more than payment of a debt. Paul said in Romans 1:15, I am ready. I am ready. So as much as in me is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome also. This is not a resigned attitude, as if it was forced to do something. He was ready to the fullest extent. He was eager. He had that enthusiasm. How ready, how eager would we be to go preach at a place where we had never been before, or where they had never heard the gospel? Paul was ready. Paul was eager to go. He was ready to meet the most urgent need of all mankind, and that was to preach the gospel. Paul was made ready by the conversion to Christ. I'm sure you know the story before Paul was converted. He hauled Christian men and women to prison. He thought he was doing the correct thing. He thought he was right. Until he learned the truth. Changed from Saul of Tarsus to Paul the Apostle. Servant of Christ. Blood and persecution marked his journeys from Damascus to Rome. Acts 21, verse 13. He says, for I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was not hindered by fears, indifference to souls, and lack of preparation. You know, I think that's a problem today. We have a lack of preparation. We don't know what to say when we approach somebody or somebody approaches us. We have fear. It changes the way we think. He said, I am ready should be the attitude of all Christians. We should all say that. I am ready. Ready to go. In Isaiah 6:8, Isaiah said this, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. We just heard a sermon on this recently by our brother Dan. Here am I, send me. We must be ready to meet responsibilities. Blessings always bring responsibilities. Paul said, I am not ashamed. Ashamed signifies to have a feeling of fear or shame that prevents a person from doing something. Are we ashamed of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this morning? I certainly hope not. Christianity was an outlawed religion in the Roman Empire. Paul said, I'm ready to go. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. To the Jews, Paul was a traitor. He subverted the law. He overthrew the law. The pagans branded Christianity as atheism. The Jews called the gospel a stumbling block, and the Greeks called it foolishness. Paul's out there preaching with all of these things going on. The gospel was so abhorred that Paul said it was everywhere spoken against. People were speaking against the gospel of Christ. Paul is speaking the gospel. I'm not ashamed. I'm ready. He was not ashamed of the gospel, even in Rome, even in the during the time of Nero's reign. In Rome, the gospel faced its greatest religious test, the countless varieties of paganism. What does the gospel have today that it faces its greatest test? The countless denominations of the world that claim to be Christ's church and follow his word, which they are not. In Rome, the gospel faced its greatest political test, the power and stern Roman imperialism. In Rome, the gospel faced its greatest moral test, a cesspool of immorality. So why was Paul not ashamed? In Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, it says, "For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." He also said in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, the Jew first and also to the Greek." He had been imprisoned in Philippi, Acts 16. He was sent away by the brethren from Thessalonica at night, Acts 17, verse 10. He had to leave Berea, Acts 17, 14. He was mocked at Athens, Acts 17, 32. He was stoned and thought to be dead, Acts 14, 19. But he remained eager to preach the gospel in Rome. Why would anyone that went through as much as he did want to continue to preach the gospel of Christ? Because of its power. Because of its power, and its power is demonstrated all through the book of Acts, beginning with chapter 2. He was not ashamed because he knew the purpose of the gospel. The purpose of the gospel is to save, to deliver from guilt and condemnation, to restore man to God. Romans 1:16, it is God's only means of salvation. He was not ashamed because he completely trusted in God. There's the key. Completely trust in God. If we are children of God, we should not be ashamed. But when we talk to people and approach people, people approach us, we should completely put our trust in God that he is with us and tell the truth. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, "To which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffered these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able, to keep that which I have committed unto him until that day." Do we know in whom we have believed? That he is capable to keep what we have committed. He knew the power of God his ability to save. He knew the love and concern of God, his desire to save. Therefore, he knew God would keep his soul. Are we good on that? If we are Christians doing the will of God, do we know that he will keep our soul? With that on our mind, nothing should stop us. Nothing. Heavenly award awaits to those who are faithful in the service of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The I ams of Paul is bold and it's effective because they are linked to God. 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. You see, the grace of God was with Paul when he labored. If we labor, the grace of God will be with us. Only with Christ can we be bold. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That would be a good verse for every one of us to say every day we get up. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let us say with Paul, I am a debtor. I am ready. And I am not ashamed. I hope this morning's lesson has been fruitful for you, that we all have learned something and can take something away from the I ams of Paul. Be a stronger worker, a stronger Christian for the cause of Christ. You may be here this morning and you've not obeyed the gospel. It is our prayer this morning that if you've not obeyed the gospel, that you'll do that today. Because many times from this pulpit, we have said there's no chance of tomorrow. God didn't promise another day. We don't know when the end's going to be, but it's going to be. So why not make that change today, that this is your opportunity? Hear the gospel, Romans 10:17. Believe the gospel, John 8:24. Repent of your sins, Luke 13:3-5. Confess the name of Jesus, Matthew 10:32-33. And then be baptized in the water of grave of baptism for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38. Acts 22:16. Mark 16:15-16. When you submitted to that, you'll become a child of God. All your sins in the past will be wiped away. You'll be a new person. You will be new. And maybe you're here and you've done that and you are not living quite like you should. Scripture says in 2 Peter 3:9, that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But to us, word, he wishes that none would perish, that all would come to repentance. If you need to repent this morning, come. Let us pray for you and with you, that those things will be forgiven. If you have a need this morning, come while we stand and sing.